as we've studied the book of Philippians, you see that Paul had nothing but love for those that are part of that church. He loved those individuals, and he wanted them to see them continue. That is why he wrote the letter. You recall Paul was in prison, and he says, even in my absence, I still want you to continue. Even in my absence, I still want you to live for God. Even in my absence, I want you to still live abundantly in Christ Jesus. They were the crown of his rejoicing. He longed to come to them. He wanted to share with them again the truth. He wanted to see them continue. But he says, even if I don't, continue doing what God wants you to do in your life. You know, Paul doesn't offer any deep theological truths in the last three verses that he has not covered already. But he gives some words that were beneficial to the church. I believe there's sometimes in our lives we need to study deep some truths. We need to have a deep study of the Word of God. We need to get into the theological studies of the Word of God, get into theology, study God's Word, know God's Word. We do. But sometimes we just need to be reminded of things we already know. Sometimes we need just sometimes some of the basics in our lives repeated to us and wrapped up. Anyone knows when you write a paper, you always start the introduction when you write a paper, and you give an overview of what you're going to write about. Then you have your thesis statement in the paper. Yes, we're back in school. And you have your thesis statement that you give. And then you have a transitional statement that goes from your introduction into the body there, into that. And then as you're done, you have another transition statement that goes from the body into the conclusion. And in the conclusion, you review quickly without repeating the whole paper that you wrote. You review quickly of some of the key thoughts to wrap up to support your thesis that you started with. As you look at this, Paul had some thoughts in regards to unity, as we've looked at. Paul had some thoughts of having the same mind, the same love, the same truths. He talked about common things they had in common, as you recall, way back when we started Philippians. And then as he went through, he addressed some things and encouraged them to continue to live for God. He even had to deal with the problems of the two ladies. And all that had the common theme throughout it all. And then as he brought it together, he says, all right, this is the mindset you need to have. This is how you ought to be living. This is what you ought to be doing. And as you're doing this, God's going to give you the strength to be able to do it. And as God gives you the strength to be able to do it, he's going to take care of the needs so you can continue to do it as well. And as he gives you the strength and he provides for the needs to do it, we need to thank God for all he's given us and praise him, be reminded of these truths, and live abundantly in Christ Jesus. Not to live perfectly, because we can't, but to live abundantly. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. If you're able to, please stand with me. Philippians chapter 4, we'll read verses 20 through verse 23. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, Lord, we pray that you would just illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, help us to see the truths that we need to glean and apply to our hearts and to our lives. We pray in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this thought to live abundantly in Christ, I want us to first see, according to verse number 20, we need to be committed to praise. We need to be committed to praise. Now, as Paul is concluding as he is reminding them of some of the truths, he reminds them of this thought that they need to praise God. Look again with me, verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The saints are not to be worshipped, but are to do their worshiping. Worship defines the redeemed. Now there's a word we use today called the doxology. And a doxology are words about glory. And many times in Paul's epistles, Paul's letters that he wrote, he closes what we would call a doxology. Many times in Scripture, there is a doxology that closes out other books of the Bible as well. We have in our hymn book, considered a doxology. And it's words of praise or words of glory. And Paul here is giving words of glory and words of praise. Not that the saint needs to be glorified, but that God needs to be glorified. Doxology in the Scriptures are friendly responses to doctrinal truth. So through the book of Philippians, we cover some doctrinal truths. As he wrote this letter, he considers some doctrinal truths. In response to those doctrinal truths, he now says we need to praise God for who God is. Look at this. It says, but now unto God. Now unto God. It is interesting as you see this, he separates God and the Father. Now we do know that there is a truth taught through Scripture called the Trinity. We understand that there's not three gods, there's only one God. We understand there's three that make up one. And we can give earthly illustrations to kind of understand this, but most of us have a hard time comprehending this. There are some so-called religions out there that try to teach that they're separate and there's separate gods. No, there's one God. The Bible says many times, if you know me, you know the Father. And me and my Father are one, Scripture tells us. And we see that truth taught throughout there. But he says there, now unto God. Who is this God? This is the Creator God. This is the God that created this universe. Now unto God, the God that is the great I am, the God that's always existed. This is the God. Now unto God that's made everything. Now unto the God that's always been here. This is unto Him, unto God. He spoke about the Lord Jesus throughout this, but he puts the emphasis here on God. He is the sovereign of the ages. He's the creator of the universe. And yet he is mindful of you and me. Now unto God. I stop for a moment and I think about this. The one that needs praise and honor and glory is God. Do you know, without God, none of us in this room would be here this morning. Without God, we have nothing. We are nothing. But now unto God and the Father. You see, he's more than just God. As Paul is concluding this and giving the concluding remarks to live abundantly, he wants them to think about this truth that there's God and thank God for him. But he's more than just a God out there. He's more than just a creator out there. He's more than just someone that was always existed out there. He is the Father. That's the truth that we've looked at many times through Scripture. This thought of Abba, Father, that we can cry unto Daddy. We can cry unto our God. As he's saying to live abundantly, be reminded and praise God. It's committed to praise as we live abundantly for who God is and that God is our Father. Paul addressed this issue throughout the church of Philippi that people need to make sure that they knew him, not just that there was a God, but they knew him as their own God and that he was their Father. You see, there's many today that says we're all creatures of God. Okay? In a sense, we're all creatures of God, but we're not all children of God. Some will say, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not all children of God. We were before salvation the children of wrath and disobedience. We were not the children of God. He was not our Father. But the Bible says once we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, we can cry unto Him, Abba, Father. We are no longer the children of sin and wrath and disobedience, but we now become the children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is now our Heavenly Father. Now unto God and our Father, we're committed to praise. Unto this one who created this world, but unto this one who has given us salvation, who has redeemed us, who has changed us, who has given us the hope that we have, unto Him be glory. To Him we need to lift up. To Him we need to praise. To Him we need to change our affections from things on this world to focus on Him. Now unto God and our Father, glory. In this doxology, in this closing words, He gives the words of glory. This is why we ought to glorify Him. And let me tell you, we don't add to His glory, but we glorify God for what He's done. The glory of God. An event comes to my mind as you think about this. Most of us remember Moses and the cleft of the rocks. And when he saw the glory of God, and he just saw the backside of the glory of God, if you recall. And then when he talked to others, he had to wear a veil to cover because he shone so great and so bright. The glory of God. We need to praise God for who He is. If we're going to live abundantly this morning in Christ Jesus, Paul says in his benediction to the beloved, he says, if you're going to live abundantly, you've got to be committed to praising God. Do you know we need to glorify God in our lives? We need to be committed to bring worship and honor to Him. True doctrine produces true worship in our life. True understanding of the truths of God, who God is and who the Father is, ought to bring true worship into our lives and to our hearts and response to the doctrine and response to the teaching and response to those things. We ought to lift up and praise God. As I look at my life, I'll be honest, there's times I don't feel like praising God. Can I just be honest this morning? There's times that I don't. But you know what changes that? When I'm reminded of the truths of who God is. When I'm reminded of the teachings and the doctrines of God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As I'm reminded of those, it changes the focus from myself to the focus of who God is. And that brings about worship. That brings about praise. That brings about honor and glory to Him. You and I need to glorify God in our lives. We need not to glorify man. We know that's a truth and we've looked at that many times. But we need to glorify God. I believe there's times that we aren't even glorifying man, but we're still not glorifying God. Because we're not praising God for all the things that we have. Now, Pastor, this is not Thanksgiving time. I understand it's not Thanksgiving time. I understand. But I do know every day of our lives, we need to be thankful to God. In everything, give thanks. In everything, every day of our lives, we need to give thanks and praise God and glorify God and be committed to this idea of praise. Not only do we see this is a commitment to praise, but look at this. Forever and ever, amen. You see the duration of this? You see the duration of this commitment to praise? It says forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Yes, I'm a broken record. And ever, all right? We need to praise God forever. That talks about here on this earth, but guess what? One day you're going to be praising God in heaven as well. And we need to be committed to praise God on this earth. And again, one day we're going to be praising God in heaven as well. But it's a continual action. It is something that we continue ought to be doing from the moment you get up to the moment you go to bed. In your dreams and throughout all life, you ought to be committed to praising God and glorifying God. What does that mean? It means there is no time that we should be complaining. There's no time that we should not be honoring God. There's no time that we should be complaining against who God is and what God has done for us. Oh, we might not like our circumstances. We might not like what we're facing. We might not like what we're going to do. But to live abundantly, we need to be committed to praise forever and ever and ever. It's a continued action that ought to be done in our lives. Praising God. You know what ought to come out of these lips? No matter what we're facing. Praise God, I serve a great and awesome Savior. Now, some of you know when you ask me how I'm doing, I answer with a little thing that I put together. How are you? I'm wonderful, great, fabulous, outstanding, terrific, amazing, fantastic, better than I deserve. Because let's look at this. Let's think about this. What should we always keep in mind? Because of who God is and what God has done for us and who the Father is and who the Lord is, who our Savior is, and all the truths and all the things, what should we always say? Every one of us are doing better than we what? Deserve. Did you know that? No matter what circumstance you're facing, no matter how hard it seems, no matter how gloom things seems, no matter how dark everything seems in your life, you know what? Every one of us is doing better than we deserve. If you're in Christ Jesus, because if we're in Christ Jesus, guess what? This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. He saved me and pulled me out of the miry pit, set my feet upon the rock, and one day I'm going to be with him for all of eternity in glory. And let me praise God and thank God for the salvation I have in him. And it should be continually, forever and ever, praising God. Then it ends with a word that we've heard so many times. Amen. What does the word amen mean? It means truly, verily, or so be it. It means he is putting his stamp on this and says, this is the truth and this is what needs to be done. Church at Philippi, you need to be doing this. And just as it is relevant to the church at Philippi, it's relevant to this church here, the New Testament local churches today. And he's putting his stamp of approval and says, so be it. This is true. This is what you need to do. Unto God be glory. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. To live abundantly, we need to be committed to praise. But to live abundantly, we need to be committed not only to praise, but look with me in verse 21 and verse 22. Committed to fellowship. Committed to fellowship. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you chiefly, that they are of Caesar's household. Paul concludes his letter to the Philippians. He sends words of greetings, encouragement, and hospitality to them. He admonishes them. He says, salute every saint. That word salute means to greet. And that word salute and greet means to bond in fellowship. He says, I want you to greet. I want you to bond in fellowship. Again, now keep in mind, what did he talk about earlier on? I want you to be united as a church. I want you to fellowship together. I want you to have the same mind. I want you to think the same ways. I want you to have the same love. I want you to have the same goals. I want you to have the same purposes in life. I want you to fellowship together, bond together, greet one another. Do you live abundantly? The idea is here is there needs to be a strong bond of fellowship. Now what's interesting here, look at the next wording here. It says salute every saint. Do you know it doesn't say salute all saints? And I want you to see this. Because as you look at even the original text of this, and you look at this, there is a difference between all and every. All right, even in our English language, there's a difference between all every. All carries a general term. All right? This is the idea. I will say the Gardner family. That is including all the Gardner family. All right? So in the Gardner family, we have Minnie, we have Sarah, we have Wade, we have Caitlin, we have Reagan, we have Jerry, we have Lucy. We can go on and we can go on and all the Gardner family, right? That's all. Every is this. I'm not just saying the Gardner family. I'm saying Wade by name. I'm saying Sarah by name. I'm saying Reagan by name. I'm saying Caitlin by name. We can say all in regards to this, the Smith family. There's many that make up the Smith family. And then, but what is every? Every is not just looking at all in a general blanket term. It is individual. Dick and Tina and their daughter Matt and their, daughter Matt and their son Matt and their daughter Karen. And, sorry, don't go tell them I said that, all right? And giving those individuals names. Because what he's saying here is not just the church in Philippi. He's saying each individual, each one by name, everyone, salute everyone. Not just saying, well, I'm glad everyone is here. It is going personally and saying, hey, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here today. Oh, so good to see you, Kevin, today. So good to see you, Lori. So good to see you, Rich. And go through individually to everyone and say, I'm glad you're here. That's the difference here. And Paul was saying is this. Some of you wanted me to shake your hand. I'll shake it after because I'll add to the message if I go around to everyone. But the idea is this. And some of you are like, great, keep it short. And the idea is this. It is every individual. What he's saying is, you're not just lumped together. I care not just for the group. I care for each one of you. And Paul wanted each one to see how special they were to him and to the ministry and to the cause of Christ. I want each of us to realize here this morning that we need to understand that this call, this saluting, this words of encouragement, this commitment to fellowship was for every believer to realize they have an important role in the church. It wasn't just all Lakeshore Drive Baptist Church should be doing this. No, by name, this is what we ought to be doing. By name, not just the church to live abundantly, but by name, by individuals that make up the New Testament church. This is what you ought to be doing. 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 This is what I ought to be doing. Every individual in the church. There was no favoritism that was given there. They were all to be received and welcomed. All were to be counted as family. Being part of the New Testament local church, the body of Christ, they shared a common faith in the need for love and support of one another. He's saying every one of you is important. Every one of you needs support. Every one of you need help. Every one of you need encouragement. Every one of us. You see, it's a commitment to fellowship. Do you know every individual in this room is important? You say, why am I important? Because God saved each of you for a purpose and for a reason. And you know what? We need to realize every one of us needs support in our lives. Paul realized this, that everyone needed support. Do you know? Sometimes we try to do a blanket approach to things. Have you ever done that? One size fits all. How many have ever bought something that says one size fits all? Now, back in my heavier state of life, I tried that a couple times. The one size fits all. It does not fit. All right? And now, some of the one size fits all don't fit anymore either. The other way, right? One size doesn't always fit all. Have you ever met someone that says, well, this is how you have to do it, and there's no ways around it, and this is going to work for you? Have you ever been told what was going to take care of your sickness, and this is one size fits all, this is going to take care of you, and you're going to be healthy as can be, right? And it didn't touch you, it didn't do anything for you. One size doesn't fit all. What he's he's saying is, you need to live abundantly, but here are some truths I want you to give. But personally, individually, you need to be doing it. Not just do a blanket prescription, but individually, this is what God has for you. He didn't show favoritism. Do you know sometimes we show favoritism? You know, this is why I don't want to know what people do. I don't want to know what people give. I don't want to know anything. Why? Because it should never be based on showing favoritism to someone. Now, some of you have children, and I know it's hard sometimes because some of your children are a little more lovely than others, all right? But you're not to show favoritism to your children, right? Some of your children act more like you, so you want to show them favoritism because they're perfect just like you are. And the others act like your wife, and so you don't want to show them favoritism. Just maybe it's vice versa, all right? Just kidding. The idea is this. He wants to greet everyone. Everyone is important. You ever been to a meeting, and you walk into the meeting, but the person that's running the meeting skips you and goes to talk to someone else because that other person's given more money or done other things? And well, how do you feel? You don't feel as important. You know what Paul says? Every person that made up the church of Philippi was important. Do you know every person in this church is important? From the youngest to the oldest. Do you know why I believe every person in a church needs to be involved one way or another in the church? No matter if they're kids, no matter if they can't walk, no matter if they're, in regards to adults, not little babies, all right? But from kids to even adults that can't walk, can't do things. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone's important. Just because you can't do what someone else can do does not mean you're not important. You're important in the New Testament local church. And we need to be committed to fellowship and bonding together and greeting one another. Now look at this. This is, I find, very interesting here. Salute every saint. All right, what is a saint? All right, the saint, the word has drifted from the New Testament meaning the saint. Today, you say a saint, you think of some people that think they're holier than thou. You think you're a saint. How many have ever heard someone say that, or maybe you said that to someone, or someone said that to you before? You think you're a saint. Well, that's not the New Testament meaning, the holy and thou. Some think of saint as what the Catholic theology and the Roman Catholic Church has made a saint, etched in the stained glass windows. And they have taken someone that has some merit and have done some good things and that, and they lift him and elevate him up to a place of sainthood. And the Pope has done, made a decree and said this person's sainthood. And what that means is that person in Catholic theology, once you die, you go to purgatory. So they believe that if you're a saint, you pass purgatory and you elevate yourself all the way up to heaven because the Pope has made this decree that is given there. That's not what saint is. The word saint, Paul uses 40 times in his writings. And every time that Paul uses the word saint in his writings, he's referring to a believer. He is referring to one who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He is not talking about those etched in the stained glass windows and all that there. He says, salute every saint, every individual, every believer, everyone that makes up the church. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Their brethren, which are with me, greet you. You know what he says? I salute you. I want you to salute everyone. I want you to bond. But you, guess what? There's others with me. You're not by yourself. This fellowship of this bond, he's saying the other believers, the other individuals that are with me, we greet you as well. What a wonderful thought. There's others that care for you. There's others that love you. He goes on, and we're going to look at even some other believers there in Rome that we're going to talk about in a minute. But he says, there's those that greet you. There's those that love you. They're with me, but they still have a love for you. Aren't you glad there's other people that are believers that are praying for you this morning? And I'm glad there should be other believers you're praying for that aren't in this building, that aren't in this room. You know what? I'm glad for the support we have and the fellowship we have within the walls. But I'm glad there's fellowship outside of this building. I'm glad there's fellowship in Christ Jesus outside of this building. I'm glad there's other people that I know that pray for me every day. I'm glad we have people in this church that pray for me every day. But I'm glad there's others that pray for me. I'm glad that we can pray for you. I'm glad I have the opportunity to lift each one of you up individually in prayer on a regular basis. But I'm glad there's others besides myself praying for you. This is that encouragement. That's that support that we have individuals that are there for us, that greet us in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That bond of fellowship that's given there. But look at verse 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Now, Caesar was a good guy. Caesar was there to advance the gospel, right? He was there to help. No, he wasn't. But even in his household, there were those that came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And even in his household, there were those that were there to support the cause of Christ. And they greeted. Even in wicked Rome, there were still believers, even in Caesar's household, that supported the church of Philippi. I tell you, my mind drifts a little bit, and I think about some things. I think about our missionaries. Some of our missionaries are in tough places, going through some tough times, especially now. I'm glad we can pray for our missionaries. But I was just talking to one of our missionaries the other day. You know what they said to me? We're praying for you in Lakeshore Dry Baptist Church. Wait, there's those that are going through some hard times. There's those that are going through some struggles that are in some places that you and I would not want to go to. Faced with some things you and I would never want to be faced with. But guess what? They're there supporting us as well. Not just us supporting them. They're praying for us and supporting the work here in Napa, Idaho, Lakeshore Dry Baptist Church, to support and to carry on the work of Christ. That bond of fellowship. You see, to live abundantly, we need to be committed to praise. We need to be committed to fellowship. But let's look at the last part of this. We need to be committed to rest in God's grace. Committed to rest in God's grace. Look at verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. As Paul usually did, he concluded his letter with grace. Full circle. He began this epistle. If you look back, go back to Philippians chapter 1. And look at verse number 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He began with grace. He ended with grace. As the church in Philippi labored for the Lord, they stood in need of continued grace. He says, church at Philippi, I know you're going to have some struggles. I've given you some truths. I've given you some thoughts that will help you and be beneficial to you. But I want you to be reminded that you can rest in God's grace as you strive to be the church or the individuals that God has you to be. He concludes with this commitment to rest in God's grace. Do you know a lot of times in our lives, we struggle as Christians because the Christian life is hard. There's going to be ups and downs and all arounds in our Christian life. We're going to strive, we should strive to live the way, to live abundant Christian life. But there's going to be some times that life gets really hard with us. You know what Paul said to the church at Philippi? God's grace will be there for you. You see, God's grace is there. And he reminded them of the grace of God, the grace you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just the grace for salvation, not just the grace that he bestowed upon you, just not that unmerited love that he's given you, not just that undeserved love that he's given you, not just those truths, but that grace that he saved you with is the grace that is there for you each and every day of your life. It is the grace of God that will give you the strength, the help, the what you need to get out of bed in the morning and keep on keeping on. It's God's grace that's there to get you up and get you going and keep you going in your Christian life. I'm thankful for the grace we've received and the abundant supply that's available to us. Our Lord knows where we are. The Lord knows our struggles. The Lord knows the grace we need to have to endure. Did you get that? He knows the grace we need to endure, to keep on keeping on. I tell you, many times in our lives, there's times we feel like quitting. But God's grace is there to help you endure and keep on keeping on. Not throw in the towel, not to give up the race, not to give in, but to continue. You see, his grace is not sufficient. Paul says, you know what? He didn't just seek the grace for the pastor. He didn't just seek the grace for the deacon. He didn't just seek the grace for the spiritual mature person in the church. He sought grace for every believer individual in the church. Every individual, no matter where you're at in your Christian life, God's grace is there and God's grace is sufficient. And Paul says, I want you to understand. I want you to reply upon the grace of God. I want you to know the grace of God. I want you to depend upon the grace of God, because it's God's grace that's going to carry you through your life. And when we learn that truth, it is God's grace that's going to carry us through. We can live abundantly in Christ Jesus. Because, can I be honest? I'm going to fail. I don't have it in me to do it. I'm going to wake up some mornings and say, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to wake up sometimes and feel like I'm just ready to say, forget it. I'm done. I'm ready to quit. I read a story about an individual that woke up one day and told his mom he didn't want to go to church anymore. And told his mom, I don't want to go. I'm just too tired. I'm done. I'm done with all this. And went on and on and on. A few minutes later, the mom looked at him and says, but so-and-so, you're the pastor of the church. You better show up. Do you know, there's some days we don't feel like going on anymore. But we need God's grace, which is there. He starts with it. He ends with it. And he says, you need to be committed to rest in God's grace. The Bible tells us we can go when we're heavy laden, when we have that sorrow, when we have all that, we can find rest, we can find peace in the arms of our Savior, and in his grace we can find it. Paul concludes his letter and says, here's my benediction to the beloved. This is how to live abundantly. Be committed to praise. Be committed to fellowship, and be committed to rest in God's grace. Church, we know we need to keep on keeping on. We know we need to be a vital church. And Paul knew that Church of Philippi needed to continue and continue strong. And he says, even in my absence, I want you to continue. Church, no matter who is leaders in the church, or no matter who the pastor may be, no matter what happens, where you're taken, where you're at, if we're going to live abundantly, we got to take these truths that Paul shared to the church at Philippi. And as he shared the church at Philippi, we can take those truths, apply them to our lives, and live them out. You're going to have some struggles to live that way. Sometimes we think we have to live perfectly. Well, if I can't live exactly what he said in the book of Philippi, the letter to the church of Philippi, I might as well just go home and not do anything. You know what? No one in this room is going to be able to do everything that we're supposed to do. But do you know what? God's grace can give you the strength to strive and to do what God has called you to do. God's grace is there so we can live abundantly. We don't have to live an average Christian life. We can live.